The president plans to warn U.S. companies about Hong Kong. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Biden administration is going to issue a warning to U.S. companies doing business in Hong Kong. It's an advisory warning them of the risks of operating there. This comes at the same time as China is encouraging some of its big firms to list there. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live with the details. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
So what are the risks the president is going to talk about?
The Biden administration says the situation in Hong Kong is deteriorating. Hong Kong is a former British colony. It was returned to Chinese rule in 1997 with the understanding that Hong Kong would have a lot of autonomy. But last year, Beijing implemented a national security law in Hong Kong after pro-democracy protests. Democracy activists, politicians, journalists, and students were arrested.
Now, how would that affect U.S. companies?
Well, Hong Kong's legal system is no longer independent from Beijing. The national security law prohibits collusion with foreign forces. Plus, data that U.S. companies store in Hong Kong could be at risk. President Biden talked about the scope of the warning yesterday.
It is more of an advisory as to what may happen on Hong Kong. It's as simple as that and as complicated as that.
Does this warning do anything, or is it just a warning?
Just a warning. It's not going to demand any specific actions by U.S. businesses operating in Hong Kong. The idea is to make them aware of the threats they could be facing there, and this advisory could be issued as soon as today.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's take a look at the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow S&P futures are down in the 3-4% range, with the Dow future down 141 points. NASDAQ futures are ever so slightly up. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 1.324%. There are 62 large wildfires raging in the U.S. right now. Guess how many are contained? Five. Wildfires are burning more land as the decades pass and the climate changes, so the need for firefighters is pretty obvious. But the federal government is having a hard time finding recruits. That may have something to do with the fact that federal firefighters are paid sometimes half as much as they could make in the private sector. That's even with a small raise President Biden announced last month. Marketplace's Amanda Peacher has more.
The $15 an hour base pay that's typical for federal wildland firefighters is not enough to cover daily expenses, says former crew leader Lucas Mayfield in Montana.
With the current housing market, et cetera, and just cost of living, that you can't afford to do it.
The group Grassroots Wildland Firefighters says 20 to 30% of all federal firefighter jobs are vacant and crews are short-staffed. That's bad news for people who live in places prone to fire.
Can no longer expect that we'll be saved from these.
Kimiko Barrett with Headwaters Economics says firefighters need more pay and support.
We overlook the long-term psychological, physical, and emotional well-being of firefighters.
Former crew leader Lucas Mayfield says between the pay and the stress, firefighting wasn't worth it anymore.
No, it's not a summer camp. I mean, people die every year.
He says the pay should reflect the work. I'm Amanda Peacher for Marketplace.
How are you feeling about the economy, I mean? The latest consumer sentiment survey comes out today from the University of Michigan. Last month, people's big worry was rising prices. Inflation is felt harder and sooner by lower income and older people, the surveyors warn us. But there's some reason to be optimistic. Marketplace's Caroline Champlin explains.
One question in the consumer sentiment survey asks people about the big things they buy for their homes, like furniture, TVs, stoves. If researchers got Mary Johnson on the phone, she'd have a lot to say.
My refrigerator died last summer, so I ordered the same thing that I had. I just wanted to replace it.
Johnson is a policy analyst with the Senior Citizens League.
And then the order got canceled a few times.
Johnson got the fridge in the end after months of delays, but she says she paid more than she was expecting. And over the last few weeks, she's been flooded with emails from other seniors thinking the same thing.
There's a growing anxiety is the way I would put it. And I've not had this degree of personal phone calls and emails from people before.
Some are reading Johnson's newsletter about inflation. Others say they're experiencing it themselves. And they're getting worried about how far their incomes will go, especially those dependent on savings and Social Security. But these concerns may not translate to dampened consumer sentiment, says University of Pittsburgh professor Stefania Albanese. It depends on how long inflation lasts.
But if it becomes widespread enough, of course, you know, consumers and the public will learn that there is an inflationary process going on.
Then she says consumers might start reacting and stocking up, driving up prices. That could be troubling for all consumers. But Albanese points out that many lower-income people have established some savings over the last year. Lindsay Owens with the advocacy group Groundwork Collaborative says those households have had other reasons to be optimistic.
I think what we're seeing right now is strong wage growth at the bottom of the income distribution for the first time in many cases, decades.
And if consumer sentiment stays positive, Owen says that could be a sign those wages are making enough of a difference to offset rising prices. I'm Caroline Champlin for Marketplace.
A lot can happen in an economy in a day. We've got you covered on both ends here on The Morning Report and Marketplace in the Evening with Kai Rizdahl. It's on public radio or at marketplace.org or in podcast. I'm Sabri Benishore with The Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.